Good morning. This is Pastor Hank. I want to welcome you to Central Christian Center. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Honored first-time attenders and cherished members, we are so glad that you're here. Whatever you need, I believe God's already provided it for you, and it's our desire today to help you receive from Him. Let's just enjoy the presence of God and receive what God has for us today. Be seen. I want to read you out of Ephesians 6. We've been in Ephesians for a while, and I want to talk to you, and I'll need to do this hastily here. So I want to read you in chapter 6, starting with verse 10. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. Having girded your waist with truth," the King James says your loins, "having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end and all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." Holy Spirit, help me today. Say something from Father's heart. Now let me ask you, how many here have ever heard messages on the armor of God? How many has ever studied, read books, any of the above? Okay, good, about everybody. So I don't have to teach you today about the armor of God. I just can make some comments. Is that all right? Some thoughts. I want you to hear the things that are for you and just add them to what you know. Add them to what you know. I hate to hear somebody teach and preach and they come on like they know all the truth. You know, what I've learned is I used to think I knew most of it. And it seems like the older we get, the less we really find out we really know. And so now I realize that I just know a little tiny bit of it. But boy, what part I do know is good. And I'm trying to learn some more. Let me ask you something. He says, put on the armor of God here that you'll be able to withstand when the devil's coming at you. But let me ask you something. I want you to think of this scripture different. We always look at this and say, well, now this, we got to do this, 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 this. I want you to start thinking a little bit different today. How many have kids? How many can remember when your kids were little? If you sent them, if they went out to play in the snow or they went out in the cold to play, you bundled them up, you put all their stuff, you made sure everything was tight, you made sure their boots were on, you made sure everything, you fussed over them to make sure that they were going to be okay when they got out in the element. How many know what I'm talking about? How many ever sent your kid, can remember when you sent one of your children away for the first time? I can remember when Aaron went away to church camp for the first time. Oh, my goodness, Pam and I, we just almost were in a tizzy, you know. And we were, you know, we made sure they had everything, and we made sure that he, in case of this emergency, and we made sure that he'd be able to do this and do that and do that. And of course, then they come home, and they didn't use half the clothes you put, and they didn't do half the stuff you told them, and you know, how many know what I'm talking about? But I want you to think about the parent making fuss over the children there. And I want you to think about your Heavenly Father. As Paul's given this here, God's making a fuss over us. He's He wants us to be safe. Are you with me? He wants us to be, when we step out into this world, He wants us to be prepared. He wants us to be able to handle the emergency. He wants us to be able to stand no matter what life throws our way. And so He's the loving Father that's caring about us, and he's saying, Hank, I want to bless you. Button up. You know, put your stuff on. I want to bless you. I want whenever that old booger man comes after you, I want you to be able to stand. I want you to be able to live in victory. Isn't that what we want for our children? How many want better for your children than you had? Huh? And often we're not able to do that, but you know, see, we have a Father that's able to do it all. And not only is He able, but He desires to. And He starts off here and he says, put on the belt of truth. Gird yourself up with truth. Now, when he says put on that armor, I want you to think about what Paul said in this chapter. He said, you have to put off that old man and you have to put on that new man. And so what I want us to understand is that there's an effort on our part. We have to go after the things of God. We have to want the things of God. If we're not careful, we'll let the grace message get a little bit just a little bit off center. And so maybe we need to tweak some of this stuff. You see, grace doesn't give us the excuse not to do anything. And not to have to do anything. No, grace enables us to be able to. Does that make sense? Because of His grace, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But I want you to start off thinking, you have to do this. And he starts off talking about truth. One definition I saw was sincerity in action, character, and utterance. Sincerity. Now, we know Jesus' definition of truth. He was praying a prayer in John chapter 17. He was praying a prayer for his disciples and for all of us who would believe. And he said, Father, he said, sanctify them with your truth. He says, your word is truth. So he's saying here, God's word is the truth. How many know if we ever needed a time, if there was ever a time in history when we needed to see some truth? It's now. It's now. We can't believe anything we read anymore. We can't believe anything we say anymore or anybody says anymore. We can't believe the heroes, the mighty people that we've seen. Now we're seeing all kinds of things happen. But this word sanctifies us. And he said, the word is the truth. In Matthew 7, we all know the parable he was talking about, the house. He said, those of you that hear what I say and keep my sayings, you'll be like the one that built their house on a rock. And when the storms came, that house stands. Do you realize that storms are going to come? He said, after having all to stand therefore. That means that there must going to be some opportunities where we just have to stand. And in those times is when we need to live and be truth. Sincerity in action. You know, I'm a little old-fashioned, but I believe it's time that Christians ought to act like Christians. Do you ever notice that some of the new wave thinking is, let's see how close to the line we can get without falling in? You know, I want to see how close to God I can get. Huh? I don't want to see what I can get away with. I want to live in all the truth that I can find. The Holy Spirit is here to lead me and guide me into all that truth. Now, don't get too excited over the message here today. I don't want some of y'all getting a little too excited. This word is the truth. Paul told Timothy, he said, this word is inspired by God. The Greek phrase for that is it's God breathed. If God says something, it's the truth. I love what Isaiah said in the 14th chapter. He said, "The Lord of hosts has purpose, and who will annul it? His hand is stretched out, and who will turn it back?" In other words, if God says something, there's not a force, a power anywhere that's able to stop what he said from coming to pass. Now, I want to live in that truth. Paul told the Thessalonian church, he said, to test all things and hold fast to what is good. So what I'm saying is the foundation here, the belt and the armor covered the vital parts of the procreative parts of the body. And the very base of our life, the very core of our life ought to be truth. Ought to be truth. Truth in our actions, truth in our talk, and truth in our character. My thought on this is, I want to read you something out of Luke 12. Now, Jesus has just been with the Pharisees, scribes and the Pharisees, and they've been trying to catch him in a lie. They've been trying to catch him in guarding or grading every little word he said. Anyway, in verse 12, chapter 12, it says, "And in the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together so that they trampled one another, he began to say to his disciples, first of all," he said, "beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light. Whatever you've spoken in the ear in inner rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops." Most of you, I know I've said this before. How many know Van Benson? Who Van Benson's? Most of us. And I know I've said this before, but back in the 80s, I was living in Arkansas over by Jonesboro, and I was selling cars plus pastoring a church, and I would come to the sale in Springfield. And one time I came to the sale, and of course in those days we were all young and we were all trying. We'd heard the prosperity message, and we were all trying to get all God would let us have, and we were trying to learn that, and we were trying to prosper and get out of debt and all those things. And I ran into Van Benson at the sale in Springfield, and I hadn't seen him in several years. And Van was doing very well. And I asked him, I said, "Van," I said, "how you doing?" He stopped for a second, and he said, "I'm trying to let my inside catch up with my outside." How many know we're all products of our own hypocrisy? And it might be, you know, it could be the extreme that we try to live a life, we try to act like we're living a life that we really don't. But you know, most of the people I'm talking today here, you're not that way. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing the big figures that we just see crumbling today? That people always thought they were something, and now they're finding out, digging up all this dirt and finding out all this stuff. I guess what they've been doing in secret's getting shouted from the rooftop, huh? The problem is, even if they haven't done it, now you can just be accused of it, and it's, you can't ever get away from that. But maybe that's why the Bible says for us to shun the very appearance of evil. Now, there's not any of us that haven't done things that we wish we wouldn't have. There isn't any of us that don't want a microscope turned on our life, on our past life. But you know, that's what's so good about God. He says, I forgave all that. You just forgive, you just ask me, and I just forgive all that. I don't care about all that. What I care about is right now, how you are right now, your life. I want you to go from this time on and this minute on. But he says here, he's telling his disciples, he says, you guys be careful. Because a little bit of leaven in there will mess up the whole loaf. A little bit of leaven will get you. He's not talking to lost people there. It's easy for us to be portraying one thing and be something different in our heart. I tell people all the time, I say, man, it's easy. Everybody said, boy, that was a good message. I said, well, yeah, but it's easy for me to get up here and say some of this stuff, but sometimes it's a little harder to live it. But I don't know, I'm like most of you. I want to be the same on Monday as I am on Sunday. You know what I mean? And maybe Wednesday, by the time Sunday wears off, I still want to be the same. Being something that we're not. Putting up a false impression. Acting like we're people of faith when we're not living in that faith. Acting like we believe something when we really don't believe it. Jesus made a statement once. He said, you guys serving me with your mouth, but your heart's far removed. And so I believe he's saying here, put on truth. Man, won't you be the real deal? That doesn't mean that you're not going to fall short. That doesn't mean that you're not going to mess up today. It doesn't mean, but if your heart, you know the thing about David, how many know David, King David messed up a few times? Huh? He messed up pretty big a few times. But you know what? The thing that kept God after him, kept God going, loving him and moving for him and doing things in his life is because he was a man after God's heart. And so living in truth basically is me living in the light that I have. Living the word that I know. Can I tell you there's a danger? There's a danger in not doing that. There's a danger in living it and then turning and not living it. Because if you're going to use the authority for God to do big things in your life, then you have to recognize that the devil's going to do the same thing. He's going to use his authority when you quit doing those things. Giving and tithing is one thing. You know, we give and we tithe and we believe God to open up the windows of heaven. But you know what? Sometimes people don't realize that when they quit that, the devil's right there. He knows his rights. He knows what he can do and what he can't do. And if we're acting on the word, he can't stop it from happening. But when we choose to not act on it, he can load it up on us now. I've heard people preach that we have about tithing and say, well, don't let God take your tithe out by your dishwasher breaking down. God doesn't do that. But I tell you what, you open the door for a little bit for the devil. See, that's why we live in truth. That's why I want to live right. That's why I try to live right. That's why I want to be like Jesus. That's why, and I don't know, maybe some of you are closer with me, but I'm a long way from there. But that's what I'm going after every day, truth. That has to be the base of my life. Huh? He goes on here and he says, put on the breastplate of righteousness. I can't spend as much time as I would like to, but he said, put on the breastplate of righteousness. I love 2 Corinthians. It says this. It says, for he, God, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. He made me in right standing with him. See, and that's why I started off here saying when we read some of this stuff like the armor or we read the different things, we read it with a mentality of I got to do this, 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 and this. But if we read it that it's a message from a loving Father that's trying to take us into all that He has for us, it's a whole lot different because now I don't have to do anything to be right with Him. I'm already right with Him. Paul said, we have been reconciled to Him when we asked Jesus into our heart. That means we've been, I've been brought back into favor. Think of it, when we talk this stuff, think about you. Say I, don't say we. I've been brought back into His favor. I've been brought back into right standing with Him. I've been brought back into harmony with my Father. Have you got a glimpse of that, man? I'm talking about the one that created all this. I'm His friend. I'm His buddy. He likes me. Not because of me necessarily, but because I am in His Son that paid the price. See, I received Jesus and I want to be like Jesus. I love what, I think it's Colossians, it says, He has qualified us. Huh? He's qualified me to be a partaker of the inheritance. He's qualified me to be a partaker of all that God has. Whew, that's something. Righteousness. That breastplate covers my heart. That breastplate covers my vital organs. Of righteousness. So when the enemy comes at me and he tells me how no good I am and tells me how unworthy I am, I go, yeah, I know, but because of Jesus, Daddy loves me. Because of what Jesus did, I've been made right with Him. And now I can operate off of that righteousness. I don't have to, I'm not going through life trying to catch up all the time. Now I'm just trying to go on. See, because if I realize what I've been given, then I ought to walk in that. I ought to walk that way. What did He say? Father, sanctify them with Your word. See, He didn't say for us to sanctify ourselves. He said, sanctify them, Father, with Your truth. Your word is the truth. I want you to understand that. So now I'm realizing my righteousness, so that makes me want to be righteous. See, now it's not an excuse to not ever do nothing and just, but it is a strength that when I mess up or when I don't do and when I can't do or whatever the thing is, I can still move on because I'm not basing my right standing with Him on me. I'm basing it on what Jesus did. And so anytime the enemy comes to me, I can say, yeah, I know. You're right. But Jesus wasn't. I traded all my bad for all His good. But here's the thing. I got to thinking. How many know if you went to the White House, it'd be a good thing, despite what the news is saying, it'd be a good thing to meet our president, who I believe is one of the best presidents we ever had. And if you don't like that, I love you anyway. But if we went to the White House, how many know that we would act different than if we went down to the bar down here on the corner of 12th Street? I was reading some books the other day. I was reading online about etiquette and you know, how many know if you went to a real fancy dinner with some real fancy folks, it'd be good if you knew which fork to use when. I mean, it'd be good if you knew when to put your napkin in your lap. It'd be good if you knew that you're not supposed to cut a roll with a knife. You're supposed to break it with your hand. And you're not supposed to butter it in your hand. You're supposed to lay it on the plate and butter it. See, it'd be good to know those things. And if you started hanging around with those kind of folks, you'd start acting that way. You with me? You see, when I got saved, I was an old hippie with hair down to my waist, earrings in, patches on my jeans. I didn't have anything. I thought it was cool to not have anything. I thought it was cool to be the scroungiest looking that I could be. And I thought that was cool. But when I got saved, something started changing in me. I mean, nobody else, well, there's a few because they were coming in with me, but nobody else in the church looked like me. And I thought, maybe I could change something. Now, I'm not preaching meat and drink, so don't misunderstand. I don't care if your hair is long or short. I don't care if you dress fancy if you don't. You see me, I don't dress that fancy most of the time now either. But I want you to get my message. When I came to God, I didn't want to act more like the folks that I was just walking out of their circle. I wanted to act more like God's people. I wanted to live righteous. I didn't want to chase girls anymore. I didn't want to look at pornography anymore. I didn't want to smoke dope anymore. I didn't want to do all those things that a few days ago seemed all right. I had a new set that I was trying to attain to. Huh? Does that make sense? See, when you realize your righteousness, when you're exposed to all God's done for you, it makes you want to be better. Well, 1 John 2:6 says, if we belong to God, then we should walk like Jesus walked. Now, again, I'm not preaching meat and drink, and I'm not trying to get everybody to fall into a little mold, but I'm just saying, something inside of us needs to change. He goes on here. Since y'all aren't shouting me down on that, we'll go on to the feet. It says, the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Let me read you something out of Romans. Let me read that right first. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Let me read you something out of Romans now. Romans chapter 8, he says this. We know he says that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But he goes on to say, and how then shall they call on him if they have not believed? And how can they believe in him if they haven't heard? And how can they hear if nobody's told them? And he says, And how shall they preach unless they're sent? He says, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Folks, we're supposed to be an example to the world. We're not supposed to see how much like the world we can act. Well, if I act this way, then I can win more. No, that's just not true. That's a little bit of leaven slipping into your life. I think when people get around you, they hadn't ought to wonder for two or three days if you're a Christian. I remember in the old days there was a statement going around that said, if you were on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? He said he told us to go. He told us to spread, to tell the story. He said, go tell the good things. See, you know, for so long I thought, and I didn't want to do it. And I thought, well, to go witness means to get a Bible under my arm and go and knock on the door and preach them three chapters and have an altar call. And then walk away feeling like I did something. And they're standing there thinking, what an idiot that was. To go into the Lord, to be a witness. You know, I believe we ought to tell people about Jesus. But who was it that said people don't really need to hear a sermon as much as they need to see one? I praise God for this church. Man, this church is full of people that care. If we find out one of us is hurting, we want to help. If we find out somebody's in hard way, we're trying to help. We're trying to do something. We find out some people need some baskets, we give. We got Doug over in Nicaragua right now, ministering to people, sharing Jesus with them, and because many of you made it possible for him to go. See, and I praise God for this church. But I think we ought to keep watching, because I don't think we've begun to even scratch the surface what we can do. He says, go into all the world and tell them. Tell them. And I love what Romans 8 says there. It says, those who preach the gospel of peace, those who bring glad tidings of good things. Can I tell you what? This gospel's good news. Huh? It's good news. And if I talk to you, I want to tell you some good news. I want to tell you some good news about some good things that a good God has given you through a good Savior, Jesus Christ. The good news. And not only that, our feet shod. I think we ought to, let me just ask you, if you come up on somebody this afternoon and they don't know the Lord, do you know how to tell them? Because you might be the last chance they have. That's why I say the prayer out loud a lot. That's why I say it every broadcast at the end, is because I want you to know, I want it to be down in your spirit, how to lead somebody to the Lord. The Bible says, whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so do you know, you ought to have something that you know how to say, and you might vary from it from time to time, but you ought to know what you're going to do. You ought to be prepared to tell them about Jesus. Are you a Christian? Yeah, no, whatever. If they say no, you ought to say, well, would you like to be one? And you know, being a Christian isn't what you've heard all the time. Being a Christian is just making Jesus the Lord of your life, giving him your life. See, and the exact words aren't important, because when you go to try to tell somebody about Jesus, the Holy Spirit's going to be right there touching their heart and dealing with them. And he's going to take what you say, and even the first, you know, at first you're going to make a lot of mistakes. He's going to take what you say, and he's going to make it work for them. They're going to hear things that you didn't even say. That's the beauty of this thing. I love it when some of you come up and say, and thank me for something I said in the message, and I'm sitting there thinking, I didn't say that. No, you heard me say something, and then the Holy Spirit started talking to you, and you started listening to him, and a few minutes later, you tuned back into me. Well, that's okay. Give me credit for the Holy Spirit if you want to, you know, but are you prepared? But you ought to know what you're going to say. You ought to have something to say. If you don't know what to say, say, hey, do you care if I call my pastor and he'll pray with you? I mean, hey, let's get them saved. Huh? If they're either going to one place or the other when they die. We're either going to heaven or we're going to hell. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord, that's why you're here. Just right now, don't wait, just right now. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. Come into my heart. I want to live for you. Will you help me? Is that easy enough? I want to do something else real quick, though, because it's not just that. I was looking in the 13th chapter of Genesis. And God told Abraham, it's when Lot and Abraham were splitting up, you know, and Lot picked the best land and left Abraham the desert and stuff. And God spoke to Abraham, and he said, Abraham, look, step out here and look. He said, as far as you can see that way, that way, that way, and that way, as far as you can see, I'm giving you the land. And he says, now, get up and walk through the land that I'm giving you. Whew, that got me excited. Be prepared to share the message of Jesus, but you know what? We ought to also be prepared to walk into the things that God has for us. He told Joshua, he said, just like I told Moses, said, every place your foot touches is going to be yours. Let me tell you, as far as you can see, And as far as you can walk today, God wants to bless you. He wants to do big things in your life. And most of us are standing here looking like this. We take a step and we're looking like this. He said, look, how much do you want? I'm talking about the daddy that made all this. Are you with me? Boy, y'all are so excited, I'm almost overwhelmed. He wants you to walk in all that he has for you. You don't have to know how. You just need to say, God, I want to. Will you help me? And the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you into all the truth that he has for you. Well, that one didn't go over. Let's try the shield of faith. The shield of faith. What is the shield of faith? It's my confidence in my God, my trust in him, and my confidence in what Jesus did for me. The shield of faith. See, now, you don't really need faith unless you get into situations that you have to have faith. But the shield of faith. See, I just want to, and I'm just trying to share some stuff here today, and I'm trying to say too much, but y'all just do that to me. You just pull out, and I was going to just say some things, and y'all see the pile of notes on my table there, man, that and I just had to finally push it. Well, I said, God, I'm so confused now. I don't know what to say, you know. But the shield of faith. Faith in my God. Trust in my God. You know, nothing breaks my heart more than for somebody to come to me and say, Hank, I just don't know what, the first time they get in a trial, they get in a mess, and they come and say, I just don't, I've done what it says, and it's just not working for me. See, what I'm talking about, the shield of faith, my faith and confidence in God will take you through everything that happens to you. We get the mistaken idea that it's supposed to stop those things from happening, and some things it does. But how many know life has some pitfalls in it? See, I'm talking about the shield of faith. I'm talking about a confidence in my God. A confidence like John said. He said, we know if we ask anything in his name, he hears us. And we know if he hears us, he'll answer us. We know he's for us and not against us. We know. See, I'm talking about a faith that'll get you through all those hard times in life. I'm talking about a faith that'll get you through if you lose your child. I'm talking about a faith that'll get you through when you lose your mate. I'm talking about a faith that'll get you through those hard times when there's nothing else left and you just feel like you can't go on anymore. But that faith, because you trust God, you believe God, you don't know how, but you just know he's going to. I'm talking about a faith that when you lose that job, you don't get all upset and want to quit God. No, you just go, I know what the devil's trying to do with me, and I'm not going to let it happen because I believe my God. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what's happening to me. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm moved by what God said. And he's for me. He's not against me. Well, shield of faith, I guess that was better than what I had there anyway. The helmet of salvation. Now, you know, I always, in my mind while I was going through this message, I had the helmet of salvation before the shield of faith because I thought a renewed mind, and you get the word in your mind and all that, and then you have the faith. But, you know, and we know that's true. Then I noticed that the shield of faith came before me renewing my mind. The shield of faith came because the shield of faith is me dependent on God, not dependent on how much I know. See, the helmet of salvation, I have a renewed mind. I've renewed my mind with this word. I've put this word in me. Now, I'm not talking about a place that I have attained. I'm talking about a place that I'm going. Are you going with me? I'm not talking up here like somebody that's got it all figured out and doing it all right. No, but I'm going to keep trying until I get it right. I'm gonna keep going. No matter what happens, I'm gonna keep going because my God didn't stop for me. Jesus didn't stop before he went to that cross, and I'm not gonna stop before I go to be with him. I'm not gonna slow down. I'm gonna press forward. But this helmet, this renewed mind, and it comes after the shield of faith. Now this will build your faith, but you know, my faith isn't in how much I know. My faith isn't in if I got all the scriptures memorized. My faith isn't in if I got Copeland's plan or Keith Moore's plan or Joyce's plan. No, my faith's not in that. That helps my faith, and I'm praise God for all of them. But no, my faith is in Jesus. My faith is in God. My faith is in He made me the righteousness. My faith is in He did it for me. While I was a sinner, He sent Jesus for me. While I was a sinner, Jesus came for me. See, I'm not going to hell because I got something figured out. I'm not going to hell because of that. I'm not going to hell because Jesus went for me. And bless God, if He went, I don't have to go. So I think I'll just skip that part. How about you? I'll spend the first 1,000 years just thanking Him for going for me. Huh? The helmet of salvation. Renewed mind. See, I know in whom I believe. My mind is made up. See, because how does the enemy get at you? He comes at you with your mind. He comes at you with thoughts. He comes with you. He comes at you telling you you're not good enough. No, I know I'm not good enough, but Jesus was good enough. You see how you combat that? You got to cast down those imaginations yourself, but He gives you the strength and the ability to do that. You got to not let them become strongholds in there. But I've got a helmet. Man, I know who I belong to. I know even I've stumbled and even I've messed up. And a lot, most of the time, I did it on purpose. You never did that, did you? Oh, God, I just messed up. No, you didn't. You knew it before you did it, and you did it anyway. Am I the only one? So I just quit lying to God, and I just quit trying to act self-righteous, and I just said, you know, oh, man, you knew what a mess up I was before Jesus came for me, but thank you for coming for me, and I'm going to do better. Huh? You're not just going to put all those old thoughts in my name. No, I know who I belong to. Nothing hurts more than to ask a Christian, well, are you going to heaven when you die? And they say, I sure hope so. Put on your helmet, man. Put on your helmet of salvation. Are you healed? Well, I sure hope God will heal me. Put on your helmet of salvation. I sure hope He'll meet my needs. Put on your helmet. That word salvation, that sozo, that sotori, that means all the above, every area of your life. That's why John said, I want you to prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. God wants to bless you in every. Put on that helmet. Don't doubt. Don't wonder. Well, sword of the Spirit. I gotta get done here. All these other pieces are to protect us. You know, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, is the only weapon we have. And I'm not trying to teach you on all these things. You already figured that out. I'm just trying to add some stuff to it. But the sword of the Spirit, see this word is how, you know, James said, commit your ways to God and resist the devil and he'll flee from you. We like the resist part. But he says, commit your ways to the Lord, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. The only way you can make him flee is with this sword, man. How did Jesus make him flee? It's written. It's written. By the time Jesus got through with him in the wilderness, he wished he had never gone. See, how do I get him off my back? Oh, God, come help me. Well, praise God, he does. He helps us in our ignorance, doesn't he? Doesn't he? Don't act like you had never been ignorant. Oh, but when I take this word, he tries to give me that cough, and I feel that in my chest. And I go, no, it's written. By your stripes, Jesus, I was healed. When you took those gashes on your back, that thought comes to you, somebody's telling you their symptoms, and you go, I got that too. I bet I've got cancer. No, it's written, devil, get behind me. Well, I know, but nobody in my family ever had anything. They all were poor, so I guess that's just my lot in poor life to be poor. Hold it. Say, no, it's written. My God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory. Get some of this sword and start cutting them up. First thing you do when the devil gets on you is you start trying to figure out, what am I doing wrong? How'd this happen? Hey, it happened because he's the devil. It happened because he's going to do everything he can get away with. But Jesus said, all power has been given to me. I give it to you. He said, behold, I give you power to tread on all the things the devil's doing to you. And nothing will by any means hurt you if you don't let it. Sword of the Spirit. How does that happen? I get it in my heart. I get the word in my heart. And then I speak the word, I believe it, and then I speak it. And if I believe it and speak what I believe, what I say, Jesus said, will come to pass. Mark 11:22, start reading it. If I believe it and say it, when I speak the word back, the word works. It produces what God sent it to do. He said, my word won't come back to me void. It will accomplish what I sent it to do. It won't be fruitless. It'll do what I told it to do. It'll do my pleasure. It'll do what I sent it to do. So I just send it back to him every day. Father, thank you, you healed me. Thank you, by his stripes I'm healed. Thank you, Lord, that you've blessed me. I thank you, Father, that money's coming to me. I thank you, Father, I don't have to be discouraged here. I thank you, I don't have to let these thoughts dominate my mind. I thank you, Father, that you've blessed me with all spiritual blessings. I thank you, you've given me everything that pertains to life and godliness. Just get that sword and start cutting him up. It'll work for you. Well, gotta quit. We might do a whole one just on that one. But I've got to add this in because he ends up here saying, he ends up, where's Ephesians? There it is. He ends up saying here, praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, being watchful to this end and with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. He said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now let me tell you something. When the Bible talks about praying in the Spirit, it's not talking about praying with emotions. It's not talking about praying. It's talking about praying in a heavenly language. Now I know maybe some of you don't do that. Don't worry about it. Don't fall out over that. But I'm just saying there was a reason for tongues. I don't even like to call it speaking in tongues anymore. Because what I've learned is this is my supernatural communication with my Father. Now listen to me. It's my supernatural communication with Daddy. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit, His Spirit prays for me. He knows God's will for my life, and He prays for me. He gives utterances. He prays for me. And as I pray in that unknown tongue, and the Holy Spirit's praying in that tongue, how many know He's downloading into me the things that I don't know? When I face a situation and I don't know what to do, I instantly just start praying in the Spirit. And you know what? It's amazing that after a little while, it might be a few minutes, it might be a day or two, but I'm going along and all of a sudden the answer's there. Communication. And not just that, but somebody was talking to me the other day. I prayed. Well, I prayed at dinner the other night with about three or four families, and I they wanted me to pray, and I said, Father, thank you for this food and this time together, and bless it in your name, Jesus. And they said, boy, you sure pray quick. And I said, we're praying over food. We don't need to pray about the stars and whether the trees are going to grow And whether the sun's going to shine today or any of the rest of this stuff, we're praying for this food. I said, but I don't just wait till I'm praying. I said, I wake up in the morning and I start talking to God. I wake up in the morning and I start talking to Him. And when I don't know what to talk to Him about, I pray in the Spirit. When I don't know exactly what I'm supposed to say and how the message is supposed to go together, I spend an hour or two on Sunday morning praying in the Spirit. And what I feel like I'm praying is, help, help, help. Huh? But I don't, you know, and what I'm talking about, let me ask you a question. I'll quit here. Let me ask you a question. What do you think when Adam and Eve sold out in the garden? And we talk about eating an apple. If that's your concept, that's fine. But when they disobeyed God and lost the presence of God and opened the door for the devil to come into this earth, when they did that, what do you think was the most hurtful thing to God? I mean, what do you think the thing that he missed? Because he didn't come and go, Adam, what did you do? He said, Adam, what have you done? Son, what did you do? Now that you've opened that door, all this stuff's going to happen. Why? Because they opened the door for the enemy to come into the earth, God's creation. But what do you think God missed? Well, I asked him this the other day, and I think he talked to me. I mean, you know, you gotta wonder. Sometimes he's speaking to you, and sometimes you just had too much pizza. So learn the difference. Huh? I mean, you know, don't be saying God told you if all you had was gas. Huh? I'm about to quit. That ought to make you happy. But what I felt like he said was, he said, what I missed the most is that I got to walk in the cool of the day with my creation. I got to walk with him. We talked. We fellowshipped. I was able to tell him things about life. Huh? You know what I miss most about not having my boys at home? I got one in heaven and one in Illinois. I don't know, that's pretty close to hell. I don't know, but if you're from Illinois, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I repent. Do you know what I miss? I miss them coming in and sitting on Daddy's lap. Saying, I love you, Daddy. You know the thing that the Father misses the most? Is your fellowship with Him. And if you take all this, put it all together, He's just saying, Hank, will you walk with me? Will you just walk with me? We'll get all the other stuff straightened out. Will you just walk with me and love me and let me love you? And I'll show you some things, buddy. Does that make sense? Just let me walk with you. Pray without ceasing. Yeah. I just talked to, if you see me in a store or something, you might think I'm nuts. I'm just talking. If I'm going down the road, I'm just talking, and I'm talking, and somebody goes, who's he talking to? Man, nobody in the car with him. I'm just talking to Daddy. Huh? I just talk to Daddy. And I'm learning that if I go a few hours and forget, boy, I just go, oh, whoa, I'm sorry, Father. Where you been? You know, I've learned that He's waiting for me to wake up in the morning just so I'll talk to Him. We go sit down and drink coffee together. You didn't know God drank coffee, did you? Yeah, He got some good coffee. Have I said anything that helped you? I want you to realize you got a loving Heavenly Father that cares about you. Everybody stand. Everybody stand. Maybe you already did this, but if you don't know that you're right with the Lord, I like to get done a little earlier so I can give you a chance to come to the altar, but we're already past So if you right now, if you don't know that you're right with the Lord, won't you just right now say something with me? Just say, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I give you my life. I want to live it for you. Will you help me? And if you say that and mean it, something will happen. And if you said that and meant it, I want you to come down. Steve's here, Stan's here, I'm here. There'll be some more here. We'd like to pray with you, and I'd like to give you some information to help you get on your way with the Lord. But I just want you to know God loves you, and I don't want anybody to miss being with him forever. And if you didn't pray that and you want to, come on down. One of us will pray with you. Hey, listen, I love you, and thank you for... You guys are a blessing to me. Somebody said, what do you want for your birthday? I said, man, I got what I want for my birthday. I said, I got the best people in the whole world. And that's you. Everybody go, I'm the best people in the whole world. Everybody do that. Come on. Kevin, do that. Everybody, I'm the best people in the whole world. That's it, Bill. Come on, I'm the best people in the whole world. I'm so special. Jesus died for me. I'm so special. God sent him so he could get me back. Hey, I love you. Thank you for putting up with me. I speak his blessings into you. And I believe him to do things in your life that you never dreamed possible. I'm believing him to draw you and me into a deeper relationship with him than we've ever had before. And so I speak blessings on you this week. And I believe for big things to happen in your life. If I didn't get a hug, I'd like one. If you're a first-time attender, I'd like to shake your hand. If you need one of us to pray with you, we'd be happy to pray with you. And if you said that prayer, come on down. Let us give you some information. Hey, I love you. Thank you. Got a special speaker tonight, 6 o'clock, across the alley. I don't know her. I don't know who it is, but her initials are Amber Smith. Anyway, love y'all. Have a great day. Jerry's funeral's tomorrow at 10 o'clock. What else?